is a good idea to speak a little bit about this press construction of Quillen. This was done for 37 years ago. Okay, so what is a press construction? Well, there are many references. For example, there is a book of John Berry, there is a paper by Huysmans and Haussmann. Quillen did not bother to write the details because he thought it was too trivial, in some sense. So what is the idea? So you start with X, which is a connected CW complex. You call G by one of X with respect to a base point, and you assume for simplicity that the commutator subgroup is perfect. Which means that H is equal to its own commutator subgroup. Okay. So what you can do from this data is to construct a space which Quillen called X plus, together with a map I from X to X plus with the following two properties. First, pi 1 of X plus is G made abelian, and the map I is a quotient map on pi 1. And secondly, for any local coefficient system, on X plus, then the map I an isomorphism from the homology of X with coefficient the induced system . Okay, for example, if X plus is simply connected, you just have an isomorphism in homology, okay? And the basic theorem, which is you can solve, it's not very difficult, but it requires some care. The basic theorem that X plus exists and is unique up to homotopy. But you can do better. You can find a construction which is functorial also, but I don't need that. Okay. Now, the reason why Quillen introduced this plus construction is that he wanted to apply it for X equal BG, where G is GLA, the infinite general linear group, and all the hypotheses are satisfied. So this is a k pi 1, and he defined kn of A to be pi n of X plus. This is for n bigger or equal to 1. So that was amazing that you get something non-trivial out of this very simple construction. Okay, and as I said before, the main interest of this definition is that you get, in fact, a space BGLA plus, in fact, is an infinite tube space. That's not completely trivial, but that's a consequence of the theory. And so the homology of X plus in that case, with rational coefficients, as I said before, is a symmetric algebra over the K-groups. Tensor Miskin. With star bigger. So in other words, you recover the homology of BGL, but you have much more. You get an infinite loop space, which you don't have with BG. BG is not a loop space, an infinite loop space. Okay, but now, on the other hand, this construction has some drawback. For example, I mean, very soon Cullen realized that this definition was not enough to prove basic theorems in algebraic case theory, so introduce other constructions, for example, the Q construction. I believe Q is for Cullen. Okay. And, well, there are many, many other constructions which I don't have time to detail. But now I want to introduce a construction which is not so well known, but which is very useful for what I need, is what I call the Menez construction. As a joke. So let me explain you what is the Menez construction. So somehow, you see, if you have a G, the idea somehow is to have a geometric way to look at maps, or at homotopy classes of maps, from X, from Y. Well, maybe I should call this X. I should have called this with another X should be called Z, okay? So forget about the X. Okay. Maybe I should keep the microphone in my pocket. It's okay now? Yes? Okay. So, what is this Menez construction? So let me introduce a definition. So G is X, okay? So G is as before. So let's define a virtual G bundle on X to be given first by a self vibration so X is supposed to be connected for simplicity so from Y to X so this is a self vibration which is an homology equivalence. Homology equivalence means exactly what I said above, that for any local coefficient system on X, then you have an isomorphism in homology. Okay? You can also say that the homotopy fiber that's equivalent to the homotopy fiber as trivial reduced homology. With integral coefficients. Okay. And secondly, I give a flat bundle on Y. So flat here means in a usual sense, so it's a G principal bundle over Y, or which is equivalent to give a representation of pi 1 of Y in G up to isomorphism. So that's a very simple gadget, and I define an equivalence relation between two virtual bundles, which is the following. If you have a bundle virtual over Y, which I call E, and another one over Y prime, X, so that's the picture. Okay, so this maps F and F prime are homology equivalences. Okay, so I said that these two bundles are equivalent. If you can find a third one, E1 over Y1 over X, together with maps from Y to Y1 and Y prime from Y1, okay, let's call this map pi and pi prime. So F1 is also an homology equivalence, and we assume that E1 is homomorphic to pi star, that E is homomorphic to pi star of E1, and E prime is homomorphic to pi prime star of E1. So this is explained in my second set of notes. Okay. And it's an easy exercise to show that it is an equivalence relation between virtual bundles. And the theorem is that the set of isomorphism of equivalence classes of virtual bundles is in bijective correspondence by a very explicit map to the set of homotopy classes from X to BG plus. So in other words, this set of homotopy classes represents a virtual G bundle. Okay, that's another construction if you want to understand this set of homotopy classes. Okay. So if you apply this to K-theory, what does that mean? Well, there is a slight variation because we are not going to take G, but we are taking GLA or GLNA. So we do exactly the same game by saying what is a virtual bundle. So it's almost the same definition, except that we assume that E now is a flat bundle with GLNRA as with a discrete topology, of course, as a structural group. Okay. And the advantage of having this definition now is that we can define the sum. So in fact, you have defined a semigroup. It's not completely obvious what you have to do, because you have, if you have a virtual bundle over Y and another one over Y prime, then you cannot make the sum of E plus E prime, because there are bundles over different spaces. Okay. So the idea is to take the fiber product. And you have, of course, projections like that. And then you can the pullback of E and E prime over the fiber product. So let's call this map pi and pi 1 as before, or pi and pi prime. And then you define the direct sum of A plus E prime as the usual direct sum of pi star of E plus pi star of E prime. So in other words, the set of equivalence classes of virtual bundles is now a semigroup, okay? And so So we define a functor for the Gortani group of this semigroup. That's a theorem. Is isomorphic to the set of Fontobi classes from X to K0 of A cross BGLA plus. So you see there is a slight variation because there is now K0 of A coming into the picture. Okay. So I call, for short, this is a cohomology theory in X, so I call this KA of X. So it depends of X. And of course KA of the point is just K0 of A, almost by definition. And then the advantage, so what is the advantage of this point of view is that now the multiplicative structure of K theory is more or less obvious. What you should do is just as we took the direct sum of virtual bundle, we can take the tensor product. Okay, and so what you get by taking the tensor product of two virtual bundles, what you get is a cut product from K of X tensor KB of Y. We can take two different rings to K of A tensor B of X cross 1. Okay, just by taking tensor products in usual sense. And moreover, we can take reduced K theory, reduced K groups, which if we assume now that X and Y have base points, then you can define KA tilde of X to be the co-kernel of the map from K of the point to K of X, or the kernel in the other direction, as you want. So that is isomorphic to a set of Fontobi classes from X to BGLA plus. Don't forget that X is connected. And so we get a reduced cap product as well, as usual in cohomology theory, from K of X tensor KB of Y with a tilde to KA tensor B tilde of X smash 1. And for example, if we choose X to be a sphere and Y another sphere, then you apply the theorem, and what you get is a cut product from Kn of A tensor Kp of B to Kn plus P of A tensor B, which was defined for the first time by Jean-Louis Audet in his thesis with different methods. Okay? But this method has the advantage that you, I mean, it's much more geometric. You don't have to struggle with the plus construction. Okay? And moreover, we have also, if A is commutative, we could also as well define lambda operations from Kn of A to Kn of A exactly by the same method. Okay. So that's the minus construction, opposite to the plus construction. Okay. Now, I'd like to make a remark which is important, because many people have made this mistake, including myself. When I spoke about spectrum, I was careful not to define K0 of A, K of A0. I could have taken as definition of the K theory spectrum on the level 0, K of A cross BGLA plus. Equal here means really equal as a space. But this is wrong. They have the same amount of type, but they are not the same. The reason for that, assume that you have, so a counterexample is just, let's assume that G is a it's a group acting on a ring. And therefore, if this was natural, we should have that the spectrum, if you take the fixed point of the spectrum, one should find K of A G, okay? And so this will imply, if you believe that this is equality, this will imply, if you take pi zero, that K of A G is a K theory of A G, okay? Which is a very nice theorem, but unfortunately it is wrong, of course, okay? This is wrong, okay? Because, well, just take as example, we take a number field and you see what's going to happen. So this is completely wrong, okay? So therefore, one has to be careful not to define the zero spectrum to be that, okay? And there are many ways to avoid that. One is to take the Q construction of Quillen. The other one is to use the cohomology theory I've defined. Or if you want, you can also take the loose space or BGL of suspension of A plus. Is that the correct way to add the spectrum? Okay. No, they are the same degree. Yeah. Because you take, the way lambda K operations are defined is you take a virtual bundle, okay, over a, you don't change the dimension of the base. Okay. Okay, I'm sorry to have spent some time on this plus construction, but we really need it because the cut products are very important in our setting, and it's very, and we are going to use it. Okay, so let's explain that. So another remark everything is going to be the same in the Hermitian case. You just have to replace GLR by the orthogonal group. The only thing which is a little bit technical, you have to be careful about cut products. See? Because essentially, what I say is that if you go from the max cross max, then you should go to mean. That's symbolic. So what does that mean? That means that, maybe I should have emphasized the advantage of this construction. The advantage of this construction of taking virtual bundles is just have to work on modules. If you work on modules, then you can work on flat modules, and every natural operation on modules can be extended to algebraic cases. That's the advantage of this construction. So in order to define this cut product, I have to tell you, if I take a module with an even Hermitian form, another module with an other even Hermitian form, so I want to define a quadratic form. Okay? So what I do is just take E tensor F, and I just take phi tensor psi zero. Remember that phi was psi zero plus epsilon transpose of phi zero, and psi also. Okay. So I claim that you have a correspondence, which is the following: if you have two Hermitian modules, by tensor product you get a quadratic module. Okay. Of course, I've defined this on the level of objects. Okay. But if you look at the notes, you can see this factorial. For example, if you have a unitary automorphism and another unitary automorphism, what you get on the right is the orthogonal automorphism. Okay? Of course, these subtleties disappear. There is no subtlety if we assume two invertibles. Then you don't have to worry about quadratic form, Hermitian forms. They're the same. Okay. Okay. This is all the generalities I wanted to say. And this, of course, implies, as before, that you get a cup product from KQN. I forgot the sign also. If you put epsilon and eta, then you have epsilon eta. So in other words, you get a cup product from KQN max A tensor with KQP eta max of B to KQN plus P epsilon eta of A tensor B. Now in the mean category. And you don't have to struggle to do that. You just have to work with flat bundles. Okay, that's the advantage of this Menef construction. Okay. Now I would like to go to more serious matters, to Bob periodicity. So I think, I hope everybody has my notes. No, somebody don't have them? Vector 3, yeah. Somebody don't have them? Yeah? It's important to have them on end, because I... No, I don't put names. Okay. So what is Bob periodicity? Okay. First, what is classical about periodicity? So it's very impressive, in fact. You see, Bob discovered this theorem using Morse theory, and it was a quite striking and very important result in homotopy theory. But what was striking at this time is that we use, I mean, in 1957, the fashion was to use algebraic methods to compute homotopy groups, like the work of Serre, Cartan, and all these people. And Bott realized that he can use differential geometry to prove homotopy results, which is reminiscent of the proof of the Poincaré conjecture. Now, you use analysis to prove something which is purely topological. Okay? And this result is the first page, okay, in my notes. That's why I distribute the page. And there is 10 homotopy equivalences. Maybe I should explain a little bit more what this means. When I say, so let me define concretely what is the space in question. So what is ON? ON is a set, since it is a graduate course, I suppose. Okay. So M is a set of matrices. So that TMM equals the identity. So UN is a space of matrices, complex matrices, so that transpose conjugate equals identity. And SPN is a space of matrices in GL2NC intersection, well, in fact, U2N which can be written in blocks in the following fashion: A minus B bar, B C bar. If of course you have inclusion, ON included in UN, and UN is included in SPN, so it's A bar. But you have also inclusion SPN including U2N, obviously, and you have also UN included in O2N by sending a matrix A plus IB as usual to the matrix A minus BBA. Okay, so from all these data, you can consider homogeneous spaces. For example, you can consider UN over ON, SPN over UN, and so on. Okay. And take the limit with respect to N. And then if you take the limit with respect to N, then you get these spaces which are in my notes, O over U, U over O, and so on. Okay. For example, just take the first time Z cross BU is homomorphic to omega U. This is not at all trivial. Okay? In fact, there is an elementary proof of this by Soussine, I guess, and also by McElaris, I guess. Well, there are some elementary proofs, okay? But somehow we are faced with the problem of what is the philosophy behind this periodicity theorem? Okay. And in fact, there are two philosophies. There is one using Clifford algebras, this was initiated by Atiyah, Abbott and Shapiro, for example. And the other one is using Hermitian K-theory. And this is the one I'm going to explain. Okay. So in other words, my aim is to find one theorem which implies the 10 theorems of both. Okay. So, how can we do that? Okay. So the idea is to take a Hermitian case theory, but in a topological setting. So what I mean by topological setting is the following. I forget discrete rings for the moment, and I take A to be a Banach algebra. With involution. Or anti-involution. You have to be careful here. I don't take a C-star algebra. Okay, the involution, the norm of A bar is not the norm of A square. Okay, so if you have this equality, you have a C-star algebra. But I don't assume that. Okay, so not a C-star algebra in general. For example, I can take the complex I can take the complex numbers with a trivial involution. Okay, so that's the setting. Now, of course, you can define a topological K-theory of A. This was done a long time ago, especially by Wood and myself, my thesis, so 40 years ago. Okay. And this topological K-theory is just, in fact, was before Quillen K-theory, and it was defined as usual by Kn of A, so I should put a top to emphasize that you are dealing with topological K-theory, so that's just pi n minus 1 usual homotopy groups of GLA for n bigger than 1. And you can define k minus n top as k0 of the n suspension of A. But you have to be careful here to take the topological suspension. So S A is the topological suspension. You see that the problem is that the algebraic suspension, which I've defined before, is not a complete vector space. So you have to complete it with a norm. Okay. Since it is important, maybe I shall recall what I mean by topological suspension. So first, you remember that I defined the cone to be the set of infinite matrices, Aij, with certain finite properties. Okay, so on each row, each column has a finite number of non-zero elements. This is not a Banach algebra. So in order to get a Banach algebra, you have to introduce a norm. So you define the norm of a matrix. You have many choices. One is the L1 norm, which is the maximum for all I of the sum of the norm of Aij. Okay. That's the L1 norm. And so you get a Banach algebra. Okay. But since I want to take the transpose also, I will also take the maximum of that and the other norm. Anyway, that's just a small technical point. Then you get the topological suspension by taking the completion with respect to this norm, and you define the topological suspension to be the quotient of the topological cone by the closure of the finite matrices, okay, and then you get a Banach algebra. Okay. And what is amazing is that you get both periodicity with these definitions. So in other words, Kn, so that's another type of both periodicity, that Kn top of A is morphic to Kn plus 8 top of A if A is real, and Kn plus 2 if A is complex. Okay. So that was proved a long time ago. Okay. And of course you can define a K-theory spectrum, so I don't want to give details, but exactly the same way I define the algebraic K-theory spectrum, you can define the topological K-theory spectrum. Now, what I can do is to do the same thing with quadratic forms. Okay, so I can define in the same way you can define the KQ spectrum in the topological setting. All what you have to do is to replace the general linear group again by the orthogonal group. For example, one has KQN top of A is just pi n minus 1 of the orthogonal group, okay, if n is bigger than 1. Okay. Now, of course, there are maps between the K3 spectrum and the KQ spectrum. So you have a map from K top A to KQ top. Which is a hyperbolic functor, which I've defined before, exactly. There's nothing to change to what I said before. And the homotopy fiber, I call it U. So each time you have a map of between two spectra, then you can define an homotopy fiber. Okay, you just take homotopy fiber on each stage. Okay. So this means that you have a long sequence of homotopy groups of spectra if you just take this is kind of a fibration, you make it as a fibration. Okay. And you can define the same way a relative theory V by the forgetful functor. So I should put a top. Okay. So in other words, you have exact sequences. For example, K n plus 1 top A, KQ n plus 1 top A, U n top A, and so on. Okay, so you can define some kind of relative terms, okay, which you can compute explicitly in explicit examples. For example, if you take the real numbers, the complex numbers, and so on. Okay. Now the theorem, which I call the fundamental theorem in topological Hermitian K-theory is that these spaces U and V are related. So to be precise, there is a natural homotopy equivalence between the space V with a sign of symmetry epsilon with a loop space of U minus epsilon top of A. So there is a natural homotopy equivalence between these two spaces. Okay. Well, I don't know. I call it both periodicity. Okay, that's and in some sense, I have to convince you that it is a periodicity theorem because it doesn't look like a periodicity theorem. Okay? It looks at a space, a loop space of another one. So we said, well. Why? I mean, you can make many examples where a space is a loop space for another one. Okay. So why is this theorem is interesting, after all? So why this theorem is interesting, and why it implies both periodicity. Well, you can look at this space is a little bit abstract. You see, you just take homotopy fibers and so on, okay? So there is a formulation which is almost equivalent, because I recall something, that when you have two topological groups, G and H, and G going to H, so G is subgroup of H, closed subgroup, then you can look at the homotopy fiber, and the homotopy fiber is just G over H. That's a well-known theorem in homotopy, okay? So the homotopy fiber map from BG to BH is G over H. So if you look at what is happening here with homotopy fibers, if you neglect pi zero, if we neglect pi zero, then we see that the theorem implies that the homogeneous space, GL divided by O epsilon, has the homotopy type of O minus epsilon, of the loop space of O minus epsilon divided by GL. Okay. So maybe that does not appealing to you, but let's take examples to see what's happening. And I refer to the page 4 in the notes, then go to the page 4 of the notes, okay? And I'm just looking at one example, okay? So let's just take one example to see that you find something non-trivial. Just take A to be the simplest example, take A equals the real numbers, and take epsilon equal 1, okay? So what do you get? Well, you get GLR divided by O1 of R as a loop space up to pi zero, again, of omega O minus 1 of R to GLR. Now one has to know a little bit of the theory of Lie groups, okay? Because what is O1 of R as a compact subgroup is O cross O, okay, if you look at finite stage, and GLR as a homotopy type of O. So what you get is a space O divided by O cross O, which is essentially the Kraepelin space of the O, okay, up to connected components, okay, because that's a Grassmannian. O divided by O cross O, this is a Grassmannian, okay. And on the right side, what is O minus 1 of R? That's a homotopy type of the unitary group, okay, and GLR is a homotopy type of O, so you find that the loop space of U over O is, in fact, Z cross BO, if you put pi zero in the picture, okay? And this is one of the 10 homotopy connoisseurs of Bott, okay? And you can go on and look at the other examples. I think I give 1, 2, 3, 4 examples. Okay, I'm not given 10 examples, but I leave you as an exercise to find all the other cases. Okay. Of course, it's a little bit annoyance to neglect pi zero. Okay, this is not so important for the real numbers and so on, because you can compute explicitly. For example, you can compute very easily what is pi zero of this space. Okay, that's just using basic homotopy theory. Okay. So it's not, so for classical Bott periodicity, you don't need to compute pi zero. Okay. You know how to compute pi zero very easily, okay, because there are spaces which you handle very well. Okay. Now, why I state this theorem. Well, I state this theorem because you have the exact analog in the discrete case. And that's amazing. Now, forget Banach, je pense. Take discrete things. And replace top by plus. Okay. The plus conjunction of Quillen is something like topological, in fact. Okay, you make something topological out of something which is algebraic. Okay. So in other words, you just take this theorem, okay? You raise it up now we're working in a discrete context, okay, so you have exact sequences without top, okay, and then this theorem is true, okay, without the top, okay, that's amazing, okay, which you don't have in algebraic, you don't have this in algebraic history, okay, for example, if you take an analog, you have Z cross BGLC top isomorphic to the second loop space of Z cross BGLC top. That's both periodicity in complex case theory. Okay? But if you forget the top and you put a plus, then this is wrong. You don't have both periodicity in algebraic case theory. But here, in the case of Hermitian case theory, by being careful by taking homotopy fibers, then you get a discrete analog, a real discrete analog for both periodicity. Okay? So the theorem I forgot to say an hypothesis. Okay, I'm sorry. You have to be a little bit careful because I was not very precise about what kind of rings I was considering. So in fact, there are two theorems. One is we assume for this theorem that there exists a lambda in the center such that lambda plus lambda bar equal 1. Otherwise, the theorem is false. Okay, for example, if we take the max category, this is wrong. If we take the mean category, it's also wrong. But we can then construct counterexamples of that. So the question now is because you know this hypothesis is a nuisance. Okay, for example, if you take the ring Z, then it doesn't work. Okay, so you don't have this theorem for the simplest ring, which is a ring of integers. Okay, and in order to prove a more general theorem, and this is something which is new, one needs to be more precise in the quadratic category. You remember that I define quadratic category by the following stuff. You take a quadratic module, and you define an isometry, if you remember, as a linear map F, such that if you take F composed with psi 0 composed with transpose of F, then you find phi 0 plus something, okay, and this something is of the type U minus epsilon TU. Okay. So in other words, there exists an U such that we have this identity. Okay. But that's not a very good definition. One would like to have U in the structure. Okay. No, so we define a new category by describing a morphism, not just by F, but we keep the same object, but we add U in the structure. So morphism is given by a F and a U, such that we have this identity. Okay. Of course, one has to define the composition, but it is defined in the notes. And then you define a new type of KQ theory, which I call KQ split. Okay. So KQ split of A is something which is more precise than the KQ mean. So KQ split goes to KQ mean, which goes to KQ max. Okay, so that's an extra data you give in the structure. And now there is a theorem. If we take the split category, keep the same definition, then this is true. For any ring. Okay, so one wonder whether this theorem implies the other one. Okay, of course. So if we assume the existence of lambda as before, it's not too difficult to show that the split category, for example, V split of A, has a multiple type of the usual V category, V spectra, over the ring of dual numbers. So E square equals 0 and E bar equals minus 8. Okay. So you don't get exactly the V theory, but you get some kind of infinitesimal version of the V theory. Okay. And so that's a little bit of annoyance, in some sense, but you can see also that V of A is a direct summons in V of A of E, because you have maps going backwards. So this theorem, so let's call this theorem 2, and this theorem 1. So theorem 2 implies theorem 1. Okay. Well, shall I take 5 more minutes? I don't want people to be frustrated over the weekend that I did not prove anything. So, just to get an idea that there is some hope to prove this theorem. So let's concentrate to theorem 1. But we assume that we localize away from 2, just for starting, just to make the life easier. Okay, so in other words, you make 2 invertible. Okay? So if you make 2 invertible, then all this theory splits in some sense, because on the K-theory spectrum, you have an involution which is induced on the level of matrices by alpha transpose of alpha bar inverse. That's an involution on the H space, on the H spectrum, and therefore K of A splits in a positive part if you localize away from 2 as a positive part and a negative part. Okay, that's an easy consequence of theory of H spaces. Okay. And you can do the same with the KQ theory. But now the involution sends a matrix ABCD to DA minus B minus C. Okay. That's on the level of category, which means that you change the quadratic form in its opposite. Okay. And so what you get is the decomposition of the KQ space in the same way in KQ plus cross KQ minus. And you have a map between 2 H spaces, and this map is a matrix of the type U000. Okay. And so in other words, the theorem 1 can be reduced to the fact that this space, in fact this space, carries information about the Witt group. So it is the most interesting part. And so the theorem 1 reduced to something which looks more familiar. It is equivalent to the fact that KQ minus A has a motu type of second tube space of KQ minus epsilon of A. It's just an exercise in a motu theory. Okay? So the theorem 1 is equivalent to this statement when you localize away from 2. And that's essentially what I said before, that the Witt groups are periodic. More 2 torsion of period 4. Okay. So if we look at the wavefront 2, we see that we can reduce the theorem to something which is more manageable, okay, which looks like a real Bott periodicity theorem. Okay. And in fact, this is the analog of Bott periodicity. If you neglect 2 torsion, Bott periodicity tells you that the KON of x delta by z one half, or krn, I should say, I prefer this notation, is homomorphic to krn plus 4 of x tensor z one half. So this is the exact analog. So that's a well-known theorem in topological K-theory. Okay, and the exact analog of that in the discrete case is this theorem here. Okay, so I think I have to stop, but you can look at the notes during the weekend and see the idea of the proof of that. Okay. And next week I shall prove. Of course, neglecting 2 torsion is bad because a lot of interesting information in the Witt group is coming from the 2 torsion. For example, the Witt group of a field is a free group plus 2 torsion. Okay. So if you neglect 2 torsion, you get out of the game in some sense. Okay. For people doing number theory. Okay. So it's important to incorporate 2 torsion, and Minor conjecture disappears. Many things are wrong if you neglect 2 torsion. So this not very satisfactory, but it gives you an idea of how to proceed further on. Okay.